ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Like, this is just how I view it. And if you guys go back and listen to the things that I said, we were on a 9-game winning streak. And I said our defense is going the wrong way. And I basically said, I'm not trying to be negative. But all of a sudden, when you end up going, you know, the month of April, Miami, Milwaukee, Boston, and your schedule gets set up, like, and then it's Phoenix, Golden State, and you get all these teams in a row, it shines a light on areas that I saw all the way back in December. It's like, I'm not like surprised.
Well, Billy, we're kind of surprised. It's Hanley.
Disappointed.
Yeah, disappointed for sure. Maybe a little bit surprised. That was interesting to hear him say that, right? Making excuses?
Okay, but I mean, what's 6-15 since February 24th when you're in first place? And I get injuries, I get schedule. But if you aspire to be those teams, you have to be – I'm not saying you should have a winning record against teams with winning records, but 1-10 – there's not surprised. And then there's that to say they're limping into the postseason. And Joe Colley from the Sun-Times who covers the Bulls. We talked to him a few weeks ago. I was filling in on the afternoon show and Connor McKnight and I were talking to him and I said, hey, what happens if this continues and they're in the play-in tournament? And he scoffed. He's like, what? No, they're not going to be that. Well, they almost got in there. Right. I mean,
right.
But they managed. But he said, if they were to fall into the play-in tournament, then the front office, AK and his staff, has to look at this team and this roster in the offseason completely differently by starting to ask bigger questions. Like the big three, DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Vucevic. I mean, everyone assumed that the Zach's going to get his max contract and you know, DeRozan's been Superman. Where would you be without him? You'd be in the play-in tournament if he didn't save you from 4 or 5 games with, you know, 40-point games and efforts.
Yeah, maybe even more than 4 or 5.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But this, okay, the big three, this is from my buddy Casey Johnson, NBC Sports Chicago. They've started 53 starts together, which you would sure like to see a lot more of that because of injury and all that didn't happen. 1,206 minutes on the floor together. Their net rating is a negative. It's a minus 1.1. So if that is your core that you're going to build around and hopefully end up on the top half of the Eastern Conference as early as next year, instead of sitting here at sixth and breathing a sigh of relief, you're not in the play-in tournament, is that good enough? I mean, 53 starts, it's not a snapshot, it's not a full season,
right?
But they allowed more points than they scored together. Usually when you think you need at least 3 stars to build around and to be in a championship conversation, you know, back to this Joe Colley, you know, speculation that AK, is he going to look at this thing, especially if, as expected, they're going to be a quick out in the opening round because of the teams, the possible teams they're going to face. Is it a given that all 3 of those guys are coming back and you're just working around it then? Or is Vooch, you know, Vooch get traded? But you'd want a lot better than a negative rating with your so-called top 3 guys.
Yes, no doubt. And you know, maybe it doesn't hit you the same, but I'm bothered by what Billy said. He's almost as if he's a third party looking in. He's right. The coach to say, hey, I told you this defense, you know, we had concerns. Are you surprised? It's like, Billy, are we addressing this?
Yeah.
You know, is this something that's on the top? Or are you just kind of backing yourself out of here saying, hey, I told you this was going to happen?
Well, he also
it's just a weird, just a weird audio from Billy.
Yeah. And in the last week, you also mentioned, you know, they don't win around the margins, which is effort, right? They don't go for loose balls. They don't show
up. And I'm glad he's noticing that. Is he talking to them about that?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, when, you know, if there's a disparity in talent, which there apparently is, that's one thing. But when you don't show up against Charlotte at home and you 79 points.
And you really
first
don't
half.
Show up. I mean, that's not I'm just not, showing
no,
up. That's really not showing
that's
up.
That's embarrassing, you know, and the crowd let
yep.
them know it too.
Yep.
And rightfully so. So they've gone from this feel good, warm and fuzzy story at the beginning of the season. And I get it's a long season and there are injuries. But when you start just kind of physically showing up and not giving an effort, that's more disappointing. And that's more than, you know, the coach. I know he's handcuffed because of injuries, but right. ultimately it comes down to playing time and letting guys know it's not good enough.
Yes,
but
yes. It's not deficiency of talent. It's deficiency of effort, and that can be fixed. 312-332-3776. Going out to Pat on the south side. Hey, Pat, welcome in. It's Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, hey.
Hey, you know, just a quick question. I'm kind of curious what the record was like 10 games before they got Thomas and then the 10 games after they got him.
Well, we have to look at that, but his he was picked up probably in, what, mid-February, something like that, Brian?
Yeah, after he was after the it was a trade or they pick him up after the trade deadline. But either way, it's it doesn't go back to February. I mean, the hemorrhaging started before he got here.
I'm just curious because it seemed like they were playing a lot faster and quicker. And I'm not saying he's playing bad. It just seems like there's a chemistry thing going on. That's all I got.
Okay. Interesting. So that, that he's clogging up their own offense. And I mean, I don't know how he and
he's not playing enough to make a negative
impact. I was going to say, the minutes he's playing, right. that doesn't explain away anything. I mean, right. there are so many issues here, both sides of the ball. And it's just... I didn't expect him to win the Eastern Conference. I didn't expect him to limp out of this thing either as quickly as – I mean, I thought they'd – I was hoping they'd at least win a round, if not two.
Right, right. And, you know, with Billy talking about the defense and how he noticed something, we're also talking about an offensive issue now too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Major yeah. issue. You know, defense maybe consistently has been a shortcoming. But now, you know, they're to get beat that bad by Charlotte, there's issues on both sides. We've got Boston's on the south side. He wants to jump in here on ESPN 1000. You're Boston, right?
Yes,
you
yes.
You a Celtics fan? Yep.
Actually, I'm a Red Sox fan, okay. and you know, Bruins because, like I said, people tease me because of my last name in a good way. If I may, guys, real quick, yeah. I actually have a trademark on the phrase "Worry about yourself," and my website is called thebostonways.com, so you should check it out. So, anyway, I wanted to make a quick point, real quick, if I may, just a suggestion. I've been watching the Bulls for a very long time, man. I'm 46, and The game has changed, and what I mean by that is that you have to have a certain type of toughness, especially in the playoffs. And I'm not calling the Bulls soft. They're a little passive when it comes to defense. So I thought of a scenario that might help them in the future, if just in case scenario, if you will, because Zach LaVine's a free agent, correct, after this season?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I read an article, and he feels like he should get the Supermax, which is $200 million. Personally, I don't think so. With the knee and then, like I said, nothing against him. I like Zach LaVine, but, you know, I don't think he's worth the Supermax. So what I would do, here's a proposed trade that I would do. I would package Zach LaVine and Vucevic, and I would throw in Kobe White as well. I would trade him to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and Kendrick Nunn. Now, I know it sounds far-fetched, but you have Kendrick Nunn. I just think that if you can't, Zach LaVine doesn't want to sign here because, if I'm not mistaken, correct me, guys, we are the only team that can pay him that Supermax, correct?
Yeah, 5 years, five years, $200 million versus 4 years, $160.
$160, yeah. Right. Okay, so my thing is that if he doesn't want to sign here because free agency, you know, has kind of changed the game. It's kind of ruined the game to a certain extent because there's no sense of loyalty. That's why I like Phoenix team. Devin Booker, they drafted him. That's why I like going to state. Steph, you know, stayed there through the injuries. The team worked for him and everything. So I'm just pulling for the Bulls. To make a long story short, I'm pulling for them to do well in the playoffs. I'm always fighting for the underdog, so people are not giving them a chance. Maybe they can turn it around in the playoffs because, you know, you can strike lightning in a bottle if you play hard and play like they were playing at the beginning of the season, now, minus the injuries and so forth.
Boston, who do you think that they would have the best shot at upsetting? Out of the three that we mentioned, it was Boston,
Celtics, Sixers,
and Bucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
My last name, Boston.
Okay.
Well, I like Tatum. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Tatum has been huge for them. They're 16-4 since the All-Star break, and they have the NBA's best defense right now. So there's really pick your poison right here because
it's not easy.
You know, Joel Embiid. Who's going to stop that guy? 7 feet, 280 pounds of Joel MVP Embiid. I mean. And then when you get to the Bucks and their top three, when they're on the floor together, they're almost automatic to into the win column. So,
here's what you do to me. For those guys, I would double team and make somebody else beat me. I would double team them and take the ball out their hand and make somebody else beat me. Those players, those stars are going to get theirs. It's the surrounding cast that you have to worry about because, you know, basketball is a team sport, correct?
Absolutely.
One person can't beat you unless it's Michael Jordan, but even Michael needed help back in the day. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
I'm just glad that they're in the playoffs for the first time in 5 years, man. So I'm excited about it to be able to watch our team and maybe go to some home games. Because I took my dad out there earlier this year when they played Sacramento because, you know, the team hasn't been as good as it had, you know, as it was this year. So we got out there and we had a nice time. They actually won the game and everything, man.
Yeah, it's good to go see the Bulls play live now. Thanks, Boston, for the phone call. Yeah, it's look, we're being fans, and we're expecting so much more. We saw some good things from the Bulls early on. We're just hoping that they can capitalize on this playoff spot in you know this first round because they're in and they don't have to play their way in. But it hasn't looked pretty, Brian, and we have to figure out how to at least look good in the first round and not be booted out in the minimum amount of games.
I think Vooch is probably going to be moved in the offseason. Zach LaVine, as much as he may or may not want to re-sign here with the Bulls if they don't offer him the max, that knee is an issue for both sides of that equation, right? As much as, you know, he had two procedures done out in L.A. On the same day. He had it drained, right, and I think cortisone shot. So it hasn't been 100% since. And I don't know, maybe when he gets a month or two off here in the off season, but they have to make a decision on that. If that's going to be a need that he has to deal with moving forward, then how do you possibly offer him a five-year, $200 million?
You don't. In my eyes, you don't.
And to trade him, then the other team's front office has to answer that question, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's all going to come down to whether he can.
And with that issue, what are you going to get in return? It's a tricky spot, but we have to get through the playoffs. Yeah.
Here's my issue before we go to a break.
Yeah.
Guilt tipping.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
Okay. So I'll just set up the scenario. Okay. I go to like one store near my house that has prepackaged foods, good food. You know, you can just heat it up and you know, nice dinners. And when you go to check out, you slide the card in, they have a little screen facing you. And one of the first things that pops up is tip.
Everybody is doing that now. And it wasn't like that pre-pandemic.
No. And so also if you order a pizza, which I was going to pick up two blocks from my house, right? You have to pay for the pizza online.
Yep. And they want to know how much you want to tip.
And they started with 33%. I mean, you talk about, you know, and so when I get to the counter, when I get to the checkout counter and all I've done is gone and picked up the food off the shelf and brought it over there. No one, you know, I wasn't sitting down and people are coming refilling water glasses for an hour. Or, you know, getting me drinks and running back to the kitchen.
Right.
And so it's like 20%, 15% to 10% custom tip, no tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, so what's the proper tip?
And then when you hit no tip, a bell rings and everybody frowns at you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then they take their food away. Right. I mean, and the 33% when I'm picking up pizza, and if you're getting the pizza delivered, I'd like to tip when the guy shows up at the door, but sometimes they show up 3 hours later. And the pizza, the toppings are half off the pizza, right?
Yes, yes.
I'd like to actually see tipping, I believe, says to ensure prompt service.
Right. And when something like that happens, you want that button that says, can the driver tip you for dealing with that?
Because I had called three times.
Right. 312-332-3776. We'll come back, talk about that, wrap things up, and then get into the pregame with Connor McKnight as the White Sox take on the Detroit Tigers from Game 3 in the series here on your home for the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander and Hanley for a few more minutes before we get into pregame for the White Sox here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight will have that for you ahead of the White Sox taking on the Tigers. It'll be Michael Kopech on the hill for three innings, Brian. As our caller said, three innings, I think we'll get a little more out of than three, hopefully, unless things are really stinking.
Yeah, I you know, he had a little issue with Michael Kopech. I don't know if, you know, he ran into him and didn't get an autograph or whatever.
And, and I'm sure that caller feels the same way about Justin Fields. Done. That's enough. That's enough. We've seen enough. He's been around 10 years. So we were talking about guilt tipping, and you know, in the break I was thinking about this. This was normalized because of the COVID situation, right? We remember that in that people were not able to go and deliver. People weren't able to, you know, serve because restaurants were closed. So when you got carry out, you were showing some love to the industry.
You were trying to make sure they got through the pandemic.
Right, right. Showing some love to the industry that was impacted, like everybody was impacted.
Right.
But now it's normalized. And it does seem like you're put into the position of being asked for a tip for things we've never tipped before.
Yeah, hey, look, when I go out to eat, I usually start around 25%.
Absolutely.
And go from there. And
right. Because you had, they are serving you. That is the to ensure promptness.
Yeah. And I've never actually just, you know, stiff somebody, no matter how bad it is. Right. And, it, you know, whatever. But this idea that to ensure prompt service, I walked in, I went over to the shelf, I picked something up 30 seconds later, I'm paying for it. And now I'm sitting there going, okay, how much that, you know, 20%, 15%, you know, I'm doing the math in my head.
Right.
Or sometimes they have the actual, you know, 20%, they tell you exactly how much it is versus what you're paying.
Right.
And then the custom tip. Okay, so, you know, for that, do I give them a couple bucks just because? And then the ones that start at 33%, I mean, you talk about hubris.
Yeah, well, that's good. There you go right to no tip. Thank you. Right there, right there. If somebody's trying to get 33% out of you just at the minimum, yeah, you know, especially in these scenarios. And it really depends. I have adult children, they're all in their 20s, and they look at things a little differently. And they will probably be willing to tip for things that you and I did not tip for 10 years ago. And,
right.
But now the world has changed, and I guess it's really up to you, but you just have to have the courage to hit the no tip button if you're going to get groceries and you're checking out, because that's their job. At what point do they have to be tipped to do their job when it's not a service that we were used to tipping, right?
But, you know, but if it's a one-off, yeah, I just go into the place, I'm not coming back again. I, you know, probably could do that without feeling guilt. If I've been there three or four times a week, I'm tipping every time I go in there now. It's just a matter of how much, and you know, I just feel like I'm guilted into it. And
oh,
then,
so you are capitulating to that.
Yes,
so you,
and, okay. And but then I feel like I'm not leaving enough. Like the, you know, the, oh, here's Mr. $2, you know, on a $30 order or whatever.
And isn't it funny? That's $2 that you would not have left 5 years ago in any, and they would not have asked for.
No, absolutely not. And it's just like, wait a minute. I mean, again, whatever. It puts you in a position where you're like, am I a bad guy now? Am I just, you know, but I don't know what the right number is. And it's pretty much every place I go into now. It's more routine than it's the exception, right?
Yes.
It's more the rule.
Yes. Yes, it is. You know, going back to, you know, sports vendors. You know, you tip them, right?
Absolutely.
You've always tipped
them.
That
always.
Is because you know that they're making minimum and they rely on tips.
Absolutely.
So when you go into a store and these people are making their salary, you know, we've known forever that, you know, servers at restaurants, they make a reduced amount per hour and the rest is built on tips. When you go into a store, they are making an hourly wage.
Well, now it's $15 an hour, which is a hell of a lot more than it used to be. It's still not enough to live on. I get that. But, you know, back to the beer vendor at you know, whether it's on the south side, north side. You know, carrying two or three of those cases of beer around on a cold day, I mean, that's, you know, that's...
Or even on a hot day. Yes.
Yeah, that's real work, right?
Yes, it is.
And my old guy, Roger, up at Wrigley Field, I think he works the Sox games as well. His thing was he walked backward down the steps.
I know Roger.
Yeah.
I actually know Roger. Yes.
I've known him since, boy, as long as
And
he's
you know
been
how
doing
I know
it.
Him? He used to sell at a record show. He's into vinyl.
Oh, he's got the rock star hair.
Yes, he does. Yeah, I've known Roger for years. I used to buy vinyl from him probably about 30 years ago. So,
but you always tipped him. And back in the day, 20 years ago, it was 50 cents on a beer, right?
Yep.
Now it's
just
a couple bucks or whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, I've always felt like there are things you just know that's the right thing to do.
You know, it's interesting. Jake Cantu, he is our producer today. He is, we're a couple old guys, Brian, so we're going to have Jake weigh in here. Jake, how do you feel about, you obviously have known, you've seen the difference between requested tips, you know, before COVID and after COVID and how it's kind of been normalized. How do you feel about this? What do you feel like you're okay with tipping, even though that might not have been something you would have done before?
I'm with Brian. I get scared whenever you go to a restaurant, you see that little square. It's like a square device that they use, right, to scan.
And you're talking exactly about when you're picking up.
When you're picking up food, and then you go in and you turn around and it's like 15, 20, 30.
Right.
And then they're just looking at you. The cashier's looking at you. Right, and I feel bad if I don't, you know, if I like custom tip. And you can also, most of the time you can custom tip it.
Yes.
Yeah. But they can see the total. As far as like delivery stuff, you know, I'm at the point where I just say leave it at the door. If I tip $3-4, They're not going to see my face. That's probably the only time they'll ever see me.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to worry. If it's $1, you know, I feel a little bad.
I don't mind tipping delivery guys, especially when they get there and the food's in good condition and everything else. It's when you have to tip, when you place the order and you're expected to tip 25% or 20% on delivery, or you're picking it up.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, whatever, there were some issues and the pizza, you called 3 times and it's 3 hours late. And how many times you've opened up the box and the toppings have slid off the thing. And, you know, that guy's long gone.
And you've already tipped him because you pre-tipped him for bad service.
I will say it's hard to gauge sometimes because some delivery services make you tip ahead now.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. See,
this is, and that is
and you don't know.
That's against the principle of the whole tipping thing.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You if you're a delivery driver or whatever, you do a good job and you hope you're rewarded as such.
Right.
If you're rewarded ahead of time, is that really a motivator or incentive to do the right thing? Now, when you're talking about going to get carry out, when they have, I have no problem. If I go into a place that there's an Italian restaurant by us, we go in there, we like everybody, they're very nice, I will tip. And I'll do a custom tip, a couple bucks for something I pick up. I don't feel bad about that. It's like, that's not something that anybody would have received from just about anybody before the pandemic. So I realize the difference of what's been normalized. And there are sometimes I'll just write no tip, and it's just, I'm not giving you a tip.
Yeah, I see. I can't. I mean, I just like really, the custom tip. I gave him a couple bucks, but I'm like, Jake, I feel like the eyes are on me. Like,
I feel the eyes, but I just don't give a damn.
Whenever
I got enough of that in me. So, it's like whatever.
When you had the mask on, it helped a lot because it would cover up half your face, right?
they don't notice you coming back. Unless you had a unique mask.
Yeah,
see, that's the problem. Some people had the customs mask. It's like, I know who that is.
It said cheapskate on it. Yeah.
Right.
They saw you coming.
Yeah, you know, it's a slippery slope with that whole thing, and it's just amazing. As I mentioned, I have adult kids, and I've talked to them about that, and a lot of times the things that I never thought I would ever consider tipping for, they're like, you have to give a tip. It's like, really? What happened?
Yeah. I mean, it used to be, you would look at, the tip jar or coffee cup or whatever on the counter, and you're like, okay, what? It's a convenience store. What? You didn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, I didn't even order a slushie. I wouldn't pick
up a six-pack. Haven't we paid the price of the item? Isn't that built into the convenience that you're selling?
See, but that you could ignore that, right? The hand scrawled tips on the cup.
Right.
But when you see the screen and you're actually paying for the for your stuff, and then that pops up, and you're like, okay, here we go.
Well, you know the key right there, Brian. Just start paying cash, like it's the '70s all over again.
Wow. And then they look at you like you're, a dinosaur.
Well, we are already. Nothing's going to change that, right?
I went to Chipotle about 3 weeks ago. I hadn't been in there forever. And they're like, we're cashless. And I was coming back from running. So all I had was like a 20 in my workout clothes. And they're scrambling because they'd already made the burrito, right? And now they're like, I'm like, well, sorry, I don't have my credit cards. I don't have my wallet. And so the manager put on his and then gave me change, but it was, what show.
We're at that point. Totally cashless. I've fallen into that as well. We're going to wrap things up here. It's been good to, you know, hang out with you again. We're going to do it again next Sunday. Brian here on ESPN 1000. We've got the White Sox going for taking on Detroit. We've got Kopech on the hill. And we look forward to seeing, you know, what happens today. The broadcast starts in about 30 seconds. We're going to hit break and then come back with Connor McKnight for the pregame. White Sox and Detroit Tigers here on ESPN 1000 on a beautiful Sunday. How are you going to spend your Sunday, Brian? What are you going to watch both games? Picture in picture?
As yesterday, both games in Masters. I'm getting a callus on my thumb with the remote.
And Tigers 7 over. So we'll see how that turns out today. We will see you next Sunday, Brian, right here on ESPN 1000. It's been a slice. Jake Cantu, thanks for producing the show. Coming up, Connor McKnight with White Sox baseball here on ESPN 1000.